News special report, at least six people unaccounted for after the Baltimore Bridge collapse.
The preliminary investigation points to an accident. We haven't seen any credible evidence of a terrorist attack.
Maryland Governor Wes Moore.
For every single one of us who are Marylanders, the words that the Key Bridge is gone, it still shakes us.
CBS's Nicole Skanga reports the crew of the cargo ship that hit the bridge told the Coast Guard about propulsion and control issues. That helped get the word out to limit traffic on the bridge.
We do know that among the vehicles that did enter into the river upon the collapse, a tractor trailer, a video seemed to show a boxcar. It's unclear if those were construction vehicles, but we do know that multiple vehicles remain in the river.
Two people were pulled out alive earlier this morning. One is hospitalized. CBS News Special Report. I'm Steve Kathan.
Join us today on Midday Magazine as we welcome the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce and Family Center from 3 to 4, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden's campaign co-chairman is in Wisconsin today and tomorrow. Mitch Landers spearheaded the president's trillion-dollar infrastructure plan. He's here to talk to local leaders about the economy. Stops include Madison, Milwaukee, Racine, La Crosse, Sheboygan, and Wausau. Political spending by anonymous donors is reaching record highs. Anna Masolia is the author of a new report by Open Secrets. She says that kind of money often pays for misleading attack ads.
When you have dark money groups fueling this spending, the voter may not know what interest the secret donors behind that have.
Masolia says dark money often comes from 501c4 nonprofits, which have few legal limits on how they can spend their money. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following are upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, March 27th. The Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin Advisory Committee will meet at 10 a.m. by teleconference. The Wisconsin Rapids Housing Authority will meet at 1:30 at the Huntington House Apartments. The Village of Port Edwards will hold their Public Works Committee meeting at 3:30. The Parks, Recreation, and Cemetery meeting will follow at 4. In Portage County, the Public Safety Emergency Management Committee will meet at 8 a.m. at the Portage County LEC Training Room. You can mark your calendar for a Retro Tech open house show at McMillan Memorial Library this Saturday. On March 30th, from 10 to 4, you can stop down at the Wisconsin Rapids Library to see interactive displays featuring retro computers and video game consoles of yesteryear. It's a free, family-friendly, educational event this Saturday from 10 to 4. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
It's time to ride into spring by listening to this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday at 7, 10, 1, and 3 for your chance to win a Chula Vista getaway in this statewide contest. Plus, every contest entry is in to win one of two grand prizes that include new bicycles, outdoor patio furniture, and a portable smoothie bullet blender with a total value of over $1,000.
97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
The Brewers lose their leadoff batter. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Garrett Mitchell was expected to be the Brewers' leadoff hitter for Thursday's opening day in New York against the Mets, but after an MRI, it was discovered the 25-year-old center fielder suffered a fracture in his left hand. He's expected to go on the injured list and be out the first 4 to 8 weeks of the season. Mitchell hurt the hand during batting practice over the weekend. He missed most of last season with a shoulder injury. NBA, the Bucks host the LA Lakers tonight at Fiserv Forum. LeBron James, who's been dealing with an ankle injury, is not expected to play. NFL meetings going on in Orlando. Packers GM Brian Gutekunst says he's glad running back A.J. Dillon agreed to re-sign with the team because there was no way they could have hung on to both Josh Jacobs and Aaron Jones.
To get A.J. back, it was that was a kind of a nice surprise. But I think that, you know, the free agent running back class was very, you know, it was very strong. There's a bunch of experienced runners out there.
That's Packers GM Brian Gutekunst. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
A damp and dreary day with patchy fog and rain continuing to roll through the area. As temperatures drop below freezing this evening, snow will start to mix in after 5. And a flash freeze of everything wet will create tons of slippery surfaces. So watch where you step. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 57.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM. Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with the outstanding Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon. Welcome in on a Tuesday, March 26, 2024. Big show today, Mr. Zommers, as it is a little damp outside, much needed rain. High atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square here for a Tuesday.
Indeed. And that is exactly why it's a big show, because it is damp outside.
Not exactly.
It's completely unrelated, but not exactly. It is good to know.
Coming up this hour, a little bit later, we have heard from his entourage that he is in town in the capital city. Our good friend, Matt Flynn, is going to be on this program a little bit later this hour. Cannot wait to have him back behind a microphone and with us. Many of you, of course, knew him from the longtime radio program here on Civic Media. He is also an author, as it turns out, and he's been busy writing books, another book. And so he will be here talking about his newest release in the Matt Flynn collection. Also give us his knowledge and insight as an attorney, a two-time chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, and also just a heck of a great guy. So we cannot wait. Matt Flynn will be joining us a little bit later this hour for all those things and more. And taking your phone calls, perhaps. Matt's never been shy from taking phone calls.
This is true.
So we'll open up the lines if Matt lets us. Also, then coming up on the 1 o'clock hour, at the bottom of the 1 o'clock hour, 1:30, our good friend Brian Van Hooker, the senior feature writer at Cracked.com, we'll be back to give us a little lighter side of the news, looking back at the great television show Seinfeld. And he has compiled one of his great lists, and we'll be going through not all of them, but a couple of the highlights. 100 funniest moments from the TV show Seinfeld. One of the great all-time shows, in my opinion, at least. So Brian Van Hooker will be in from Cracked.com in hour number 2, plus much, much more. So welcome you in on a Tuesday afternoon here. Like I said, a little damp, but the farmers particularly could use the wet weather. Breaking news, of course, I'm sure you've heard it already. Jay Matinier and Matinier on Air before we came on. By the way, I was a guest on Matinier on Air today with Jane and Greg.
Yeah, we had a comment here. Andrew in Maine says, I feel like I've already seen and heard from Todd today. I hope he has something new to say.
Well, we'll try. We certainly think we do. Well, Matt will be here. That's new enough, of course. But no, Matt or Jane was so very kind and invited me on Matinier on Air and had a good conversation with Greg and Jane today. And I know Jane was covering this, but we're going to continue to cover it because it has been the top story of the day. Woke up this morning and saw what happened overnight or the very early morning hours in Baltimore, and absolutely breathtaking as you saw on video because of the cameras by the Department of Transportation out there in Maryland. This bridge in its entirety collapsed after being hit by a cargo ship. Details are still emerging. It's the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. And apparently if you watch the video, I've seen this a few times now, there appears to be a power outage on the ship because all the lights on the ship go dark. Then the ship starts to drift. Then they come back on and you see a really dark black plume of heavy smoke coming out of the ship. And listening to Chris Van Cleave, the transportation expert on CBS this morning, apparently that's an indication that the ship is really revving up its engine to make to really get the propellers going to make maneuverability easier. And so once the electricity apparently came back on, whoever was in charge of the ship tried to really get the engines going to counter the maneuver. And then the electricity appears to have gone off again. And then it comes back on just as the ship, unfortunately, hits the Francis Scott Key Bridge and the entire bridge collapsed into the river below. There are reports of several cars underwater, according to sonar. Details are still emerging of how many people are involved, how many people have been taken to the hospital. Apparently, there was overnight work, road work, going on the bridge, and some of those people working on the bridge were also, of course, victims who were in the water. Some have been rescued. Reports that some are still being looked for. There's a search and rescue operation going on and underway. President Joe Biden addressed the nation a few minutes ago. We're going to take some of this just to give you a flavor of what the president said. Here again now is President Joe Biden from the White House on the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge.
Sorry to keep you waiting. I was waiting to talk to the last member of the delegation in the region. Good afternoon. Before I leave for North Carolina, which I'm going to do in a few minutes, I want to speak briefly about the terrible incident and accident that happened in Baltimore this morning. At about 1:30, a container ship struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which I've been over many, many times commuting from the state of Delaware in our trainer by car. Been in Baltimore Harbor many times. And the bridge collapsed, sending several people and vehicles into the water, into the river. And multiple U.S. Coast Guard units, which are stationed very nearby, thank God, were immediately deployed along with local emergency personnel. And the Coast Guard is leading the response to the port, where representatives from the Federal Highway Administration, the FBI, Department of Transportation, the Army Corps of Engineers, as well as Maryland officials and Baltimore Police and Fire, are all working to get emergency response. Officials at the scene estimate 8 people were unaccounted for still. Not still, were unaccounted for. That number might change. 2 have been rescued, 1 without injury, 1 in critical condition. And the search and rescue operation is continuing for all those remaining as we speak. I spoke with Governor Moore this morning, as well as the Mayor of Baltimore, the county executive, both United States senators and the congressman. And my Secretary of Transportation is on the scene. I told them we're going to send all the federal resources they need as we respond to this emergency. And I mean all the federal resources. And we're going to rebuild that port together. That this was a terrible accident. At this time, we have no other indication, no other reason to believe there's any intentional act here. Personnel on board the ship were able to alert the Maryland Department of Transportation that they had lost control of their vessel, as you all know and reported. As a result, local authorities were able to close the bridge to traffic before the bridge was struck, which undoubtedly saved lives. Our prayers are with everyone involved in this terrible accident and all the families, especially those waiting for the news of their loved one right now. I know every minute in that circumstance feels like a lifetime. You just don't know. It's just terrible. We're incredibly grateful for the brave rescuers who immediately rushed to the scene and to the people of Baltimore. We're with you. We're going to stay with you as long as it takes. And like the governor said, you're Maryland tough, you're Baltimore strong, and we're going to get through this together. And I promise we're not leaving. Here's what's happening now. The search and rescue operation is our top priority. Ship traffic in the port of Baltimore has been suspended until further notice. And we'll need to clear that channel before the ship traffic can resume. The Army Corps of Engineers is on the spot and is going to help lead this effort to clear the channel. The Port of Baltimore is one of the nation's largest shipping hubs. And I've been there a number of times as a senator and as a vice president. It handles a record amount of cargo last year. It's also the top port in America for both imports and exports of automobiles and light trucks.
Around 850,000 vehicles go through that port every single year. And we're going to get it up and running again as soon as possible. 15,000 jobs depend on that port. And we're going to protect those jobs and help those workers. The bridge is also critical for travel, not just for Baltimore, but for the Northeast Corridor. Over 30,000 vehicles cross the Francis Scott Key Bridge on a daily basis. It's virtually, it's one of the most important elements for the economy in the Northeast and the quality of life. My transportation secretary is there now. As I told Governor Moore, I've directed my team to move heaven and earth to reopen the port and rebuild the bridge as soon as humanly possible. And we're going to work hand in hand with the support of Maryland to support Maryland and whatever they ask for. We're going to work with our partners in Congress to make sure the state gets the support it needs. It's my intention that we'll pay for the entire cost of reconstructing that bridge. And I expect the Congress to support my effort. This is going to take some time. The people of Baltimore can count on us, though, to stick with them at every step of the way until the port is reopened and the bridge is rebuilt. You know, we're not leaving until this job gets done. We're not leaving until then. So I just want to say God bless everybody who everyone harmed this morning and their families. And may God bless the first responders, many of whom risked their lives.
That was President Joe Biden from the White House here just moments ago giving remarks on the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. A couple of important points there. The president pledging that the federal government will do whatever they can and is committed to rebuilding that bridge and having the federal government pay for it, calling on Congress to support that effort. Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg is already there or on the ground already or on the way there to oversee this personally. I think also it was very key that what the president said there, that the ship, the captain or those on the ship were able to send out a mayday signal to land, and they were actually able to close off the bridge to even more traffic coming onto it as that prevented a lot more loss of life there. I think that's really, really key. And again, in watching other reporting this morning, particularly on CBS, apparently reports are this is a foreign vessel. One report was this vessel was on its way to Sri Lanka. But here's the thing. When you have these foreign ships in American ports, what happens is there is a captain that is certified and trained as a U.S. captain that goes on this ship as it leaves port, in this case, the port of Baltimore, and directs the helmsman of the ship until it's clear, until it gets into international waters or close to it. And then that individual, that captain that's certified to captain an American ship, gets off the vessel and the vessel continues on its way. So apparently there was a American licensed captain on the boat directing the helmsman. And again, the video reports show that, or appear to show that the electricity completely went out of the ship at least twice before hitting the bridge. And again, from the plumes of smoke coming up from the vessel, it appears that the helmsman and or the captain was trying to do everything they could to avoid the collision. The president saying there that in his remarks that at this hour, it does not appear to be anything related to terrorism or anything like that. The investigation will continue on. Civic Media will continue to cover this as well. And we thank you for listening on this tragedy in Baltimore, the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. We're going to come back on the other side. Our friend Matt Flynn is in the vicinity. He's going to drop by, talk about a book, talk about Trump. And don't worry, he'll be direct. Matt Flynn direct on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Elbow Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along with us here on a Tuesday, March 26, 2024. Matt Flynn is in the house. He is going through security. No, not. He'll be in very soon, and we're looking forward to having our old friend with us and back behind this microphone. Before he gets in here, I thought it'd be good to also give you a little background on the Trumpster, what's happening. Now, a lot of news on this Truth Social, the former president's social media company. And we're going to get Matt's input on this as well. It says this from the CNN. For the first time in almost 30 years, part of Donald Trump's business empire has gone public. Trading started with a bang. Trump Media and Technology Group, the owner of the struggling social media platform Truth Social, is to begin its long-delayed journey as a public company. At today's opening bell, under the ticket symbol DJT, the stock surged about 56% at the open to $78 a share, and trading was briefly halted for volatility. Trump's media shares have since stabilized at around $70, marking a 40% increase since yesterday's close. Wall Street is assigning Trump Media an eye-popping valuation of around $13 billion, a price tag that experts warn is untethered to reality. I like that phrase, untethered to reality. In other words, it's bat crap crazy. Shares of Digital World Acquisition Corp, the shell company that became Trump Media Tuesday morning, have spiked about 300% so far this year. That includes a 35% surge yesterday after the deal closed. Shares popped again at the start of trading this morning, investors' first opportunity to trade the stock after the merger under the new DJT ticker. The skyrocketing share prices come despite the fact that Trump Media is burning through cash, piling up losses, and its main product, Truth Social, of course, also happens to be losing users. So here we have the Trumpster trying to apparently cash in on Truth Social, and it turns out the guy's in a little bit of a need for money. As it turns out, if you follow the court cases, of course. So is this, I mean, that line that I really loved, of course, was just, it's completely unbound by reality. I mean, there's no way this company, untethered, that's the word, untethered to reality. There's no way this company is worth $13 billion. I mean, it's beyond ridiculous. But yet he gets this story. It's a lot of press in Wall Street as well. I don't know, Mr. Zomers. I think what we need is an expert in the law. What we need is an expert who understands this stuff and can explain it. And wait, what is that? Ladies and gentlemen, making his return appearance to the Civic Media airwaves, our friend Matt Flynn, direct. Matt, how are you?
It was great to be here, Todd. I always love your show, and it's thanks for inviting me on. Good to be here.
Yeah, I couldn't be more pleased. It's fantastic to have you here. And let's just get this out of the way at the top of the show, because we want to deal in the present and in the future. And I think it's fair to say what happened was, you know, folks here kind of wanted suggested one avenue to go in here, and you said no, I'm not really interested in that. And you know, and here we are today.
As a programming, management has an idea about programming. They wanted a unified messaging, and that's certainly their prerogative. But yeah, it's good to be back on your show, and good to see you, Todd.
It's great to have you back, and so happy to have you back on this show, so happy to have you back on the Civic Media airwaves, because you offer a valuable insight. If you haven't heard of Matt, I mean, what the heck's the matter with you? But just in case for those that haven't, he is a two-time former chairman of the Democratic Party of the state of Wisconsin. He is an attorney. He is a United States veteran from the Navy, and also happens to be an author. And we're going to get into the book, I think, on the other side of the break, Matt. But we brought up this, and I want to get your four minutes here left before the first break. But this this news today that Trump's Truth Social now trading on publicly, and Wall Street, Trump Media, Wall Street assigning Trump Media an eye-popping valuation of around $13 billion with a B, a price tag that experts warn is, quote, untethered to reality.
Yeah, well, you know what this is? There's this billionaire, this fellow named Yass, I think his name is, uh-huh. And he, Truth Social has absolutely no basics to warrant this. In other words, doesn't have the revenue, doesn't have the listeners. But what some Trump supporters have done, and spurred on by people like this fellow, this billionaire, is to sort of gin it up. And originally the valuation was going to be $6.9 billion. So now apparently it's going up. What happens when something like that happens is the average, schlemp buys into it. And, he's paid in effect, because Warren Buffett said, pretend you're buying the whole company.
Right.
So for a share, he's paying the equivalent of it, $6.9 billion, $13 billion. By a bunch of rummies who have very few listeners, and basically they're controlled by the Russians.
Right.
I mean, quite frankly. And so why do I laugh? I don't know. I mean, people are getting cheated, but some of these people are also sending them $20 a month towards the legal fees.
Exactly.
And they're living on Social Security. So it's very sad, and I'll leave you with one caveat on that, and that is this is ripe for securities fraud action. The securities fraud plaintiffs' bar are going to be circling like wolves. And when these people tank, they're going to bring a class action for billions of dollars against Trump and against this fellow. Yes. And but the problem is that might be after November.
Right.
That's the problem. And he may grab some money out of this.
Yeah. If you want to talk to our old friend Matt Flynn, give us a call, 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. If you don't have it, what the heck's wrong with you? Download it on your Apple or iPhone device. It is free. Takes less than a minute to do that. Also, already a friendly comment here from Andrew in Verona, listening on WMDX. Nice to hear Matt's voice. So look at that. The fans.
thank you, Andrew.
And Tony on Facebook.
Tony, there we go. Great to hear and see from you, Matt. There you
thank
go.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Again, before we leave this particular subject, Matt, of course, Trump, we're going to get to the legal woes as well a little bit later on in this hour, but he's trying to come up with cash. Some people are saying that he went this Truth Social to put it out on the public here to raise money to pay off his bonds. And are the Saudis and the Russians really the one buying these stocks to get him the money that way?
Right. The problem for him is the rule is he can't sell it for 6 months. He has to have a waiver. Mm-hmm. And that is precarious. 6 months doesn't do it for him. So, yeah, the Saudis and the Russians and a lot of other people may be circling, and American billionaires, but he has to get a waiver of the 6 months.
We'll talk more with Matt Flynn about his new book. It is called The Court of Last Resort. I have a fresh copy right in my hot little hands. It smells like a new book, as a matter of fact, Matt. Isn't that new book smell, right? We'll come back and talk with Matt a little bit about that on the other side, and find out what else is on his mind on this subject. Matt, we see him on the line. What should they do?
There is Gene of Eau Claire. Gene of Eau Claire.
Do not hang up.
No, don't hang up, Gene. We're going to get back to you right after the break. Thank you, Gene.
He is Matt Flynn. I'm Todd Allball. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Gonna cut you down.
covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Say it with me, the Bucks in Six. And you could catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you midday on a Tuesday. We're learning more about a mystery disease in dairy cattle that health officials found was connected to the bird flu. The milk is safe, but the markets might still react. Stay tuned for the story.
Out on your operation, you know the importance of planning ahead. But there still lies a scary field of unknowns, including costly nitrogen loss that can strike from any angle. But N-Edge Pro protects it on every level to fight nitrogen loss while giving your crops an advantage you'll notice come harvest. Protect your nitrogen above and below ground with N-Edge Pro from CHS. Learn more at chsagronomy.com/N-Edge Pro.
This week, the U.S. Department of Agriculture discovered that a disease found on dairy farms in Kansas, Texas, and New Mexico is connected to the highly pathogenic avian influenza. There's no concern about the safety of the milk, but market advisor John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing says it could still influence dairy markets.
What does it do in the markets? Again, like I said, perception could be some of the key there, that the milk markets have been beat up so badly in the last handful of weeks anyway. It's just another layer on top. We'll have to see how the market reacts today. You know, sometimes those things in terms of how the market handles it, it comes down to more, again, the sentiment, the concern, you know, does this slow down some more demand, things of that nature. We'll see how those numbers kind of play out.
John Heinberg joining us from Total Farm Marketing in West Bend. We'll take a look at our Class 3 milk contracts next.
With the push of a button, you could save lives and the livelihood of others in your area. The Midwest Farm Report and the National Weather Service are recruiting citizen scientists to help keep an eye on the sky this season. You can help by taking real-time weather observations on your phone and alerting the National Weather Service about severe weather occurring where you are. Volunteer weather observers play an important role in tracking and relaying vital weather information. To find out how you can become a citizen scientist, visit WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org.
Today, I'm calling on you in Florence, Jackson, and Langlade counties to sign up to be weather observers for the National Weather Service. Florence, Jackson, and Langlade counties are in need of reporters to tell the National Weather Service what's falling or not falling on the ground today. Sign up at WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org. From Chicago, Class 3 milk, which goes to make cheese, is the only thing showing strength. The April Class 3 milk contract is up 18 cents at $15.93 a hundredweight. The May contract is up 24 cents at $16.56. Cash corn is down a penny and a half at $4.36 and a quarter. December new crop corn is down 3 cents at $4.71 and three quarters. Cash beans are down 8.5 cents at $12.75. And November new crop beans are down a nickel and a quarter at $11.93 and a half. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
A damp and dreary day with patchy fog and rain continuing to roll through the area. As temperatures drop below freezing this evening, snow will start to mix in after 5. And a flash freeze of everything wet will create tons of slippery surfaces. So watch where you step. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 55 degrees.
Celebrating 75 years.
We got something going here in Madison.
On the ice.
Shoots and scores again.
Against the boards.
He hangs on. Badgers kill off the major.
Between the pipes.
Redirect another fantastic stop.
This is Badger Hockey.
Shoots one, scores. Wow.
It's everything.
For the win, he shoots and scores.
Badger Hockey lives here.
Keep it going.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Well,
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
Welcome into a very special edition of the Todd Lovell Show with Matt Flynn. That's right, our old friend Matt Flynn, two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, an attorney, a Navy veteran, an author as well. We're happy to have him here in our studios in State Street. Do you travel with an entourage these days, Matt?
I'm the driver.
You're the driver. I can't tell you how much it means to me to have you here. Always appreciate your insight. I know people have been looking forward to this as well. So let's go to the phone lines, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Gene in Eau Claire. Gene, thanks for calling. What's the...
Well, this is a great day, and I'm going to mark it on the calendar because I miss you, Matt. I miss the history in the making, the contextual information, all of the background that you have, and the importance that each moment in this time will impact generations to come. So I value everything you have to say today, and I want to hear about your new book. And thank you so much, Matt, for making my day great. You have a good day. I want you to talk about what you need to talk about today. Bye. Thank you.
Gene, it's great to hear your voice again. You were one of my sturdiest callers for a long time. It's great to hear you again. I'm glad you're listening to Todd Lobo's show, and it's just great, and we're going to have a great discussion today, and thank you. And remember that fascism creeps in on little cat's feet, and you're not woke if you don't know history. Just remember that. Thanks very, very much.
That made the entire show. I mean, we get nothing else today. That's what we're looking for. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Bob, listening on WMDX here in Madison. Bob, thanks for calling. What say you? Bob, you're on the air. You have a question for Matt?
If they call on me. I'm
Bob,
not there.
You're on the air, Bob. You're on the air right now. What's your question for Matt?
Okay, yeah, Matt?
Yeah, hey, Bob.
Yeah, I got two thoughts in mind. I don't like, the dictatorship, the tyrannies, all the other words. I think thugocracy is the way to describe the violence. You got to capture the violence, and you got to have a word that it has a negative connotation, and that's where thug comes in. And they are the gullible, ornery people, the GOP, right. The gullible, ornery people, because they swallow the Kool-Aid, so that makes them gullible, and they're ornery. They're just ornery.
Well, Bob, you're right under it.
And everything under the sun.
You've always been a great messenger. Did you have a quick second point? And then I will address what you just said, but it was good. What else did you have to say?
That was it.
Okay, that was it. You know, you're a great messenger. Bob always has been. He was a great caller. And Bob, here's the deal. Thugocracy is great, and I think you should spread that around. But, you know, we're talking about... dictators. I mean, we're talking about fascism, and you take a look at somebody like Hitler or Mussolini or Stalin or Putin, and I think that it may not give sufficient importance to simply talk about thugocracy. These people are murderers, they're genocidal sadists, and what's going to happen if Trump gets in, quite frankly, he comes across as a little more affable and all that, but he is planting the seeds of the destruction of our democracy. And that's got to be said plain and simple. And thugocracy is great, and a lot of other things are great, but it's really more than just organized crime. This is a frontal assault on our democracy.
Matt, I think what makes it so interesting for me, you're a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat, two-time state party chair, ran for governor as a Democrat as well, lifetime of activity in the Democratic Party. On Wednesdays, we have our friend Trygve Olson, who, like myself, spent years in the Republican Party. He, of course, spent a lot of time in Eastern Europe taking on autocracies over there And to listen to both of you coming from different political party backgrounds, you're essentially identifying and saying the same things, that this authoritarianism, this fascism that we see, as you say, creeps in a little cat's feet. It's not as loud as it might be from other people, but it's there.
It is. I have a lot of respect for Trevor Olson and for you, Todd. And so the point of the matter is, if you have good mainstream Republicans and good mainstream Democrats, they're both for democracy. They really, we all are. What's happened here is that there is a perverted branch that has taken over the Republican Party. And I mean, look at people like Liz Cheney. Look at people like Adam Kinzinger. Look at Mitt Romney. I mean, look at a lot of these people. Look at Governor DeWine of Ohio and Portman and so on. They want to stand up to Trump, but there's a fever going through the country right now. And it's very, very important to stand up for it. And I welcome mainstream Republicans who stand up for it.
Well, I get to the book, so in case we, I don't want to run out of time, because that's the main reason, or one of the main reasons Matt's here. The new book, and it looks like a good one, it is called The Court of Last Resort. I have it right here. Matt, tell us a little bit about how you came to write it and some of the background of the book.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite novels. I've written several novels and also a nonfiction piece, but this one is one of my favorites, and it stemmed, I was a law clerk out of law school for the chief judge of the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago, the Honorable Thomas Fairchild. Some of you out there may remember the name, one of the great judges in Wisconsin history. So this has nothing to do with him, because in this particular case, I turned it around and tried to capture a lot of themes, and the judge in this case wants perfect justice in his court, and you never get it. And he goes out at night and he administers it himself. He's a former Marine commando. Now, there's a lot of action in this, but at the very end, he's confronted with the limitations of his own power. He's not God. Mm-hmm. And people that have read it, selling very well. People, you can get it anywhere. You can get it Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can get it, you know, just go anywhere. But anybody out there who's interested in a lot of the ideas that Todd talks about and I talk about, you're going to see some of them in fiction form here. And it's one of my, probably the favorite novel that I wrote. So,
really?
Yeah, thanks for letting me pitch it on the air like this.
And as a writer, Matt, you know, do you find your experience as an attorney, your experience in politics, does this kind of all come together when you write? Do you write based on some of these? Do you base your fiction on some of the things that you've either seen or experienced?
And the answer is yes. And it's based partly on the law and politics and partly on my military service, quite frankly. But one of the things I've got to say is I had the most wonderful parents that any boy could have had. They encouraged me to write when I was 10 or 11 years old. And one little strange fact, my parents didn't buy a television set till I was 21 years old.
Wow.
So as a kid, really? We didn't watch television. I'm not kidding, through the 50s and 60s.
Wow.
And so we read. I probably read 400 or 500 books. You know, the Hardy Boys, Horatio Alger, G.A. Henty, all this stuff. You know, each one of them had a series of 50 or 60 books. And if you want to write, read, okay? It's as simple as that. Yeah. And frankly, even if you read bad writing, you learn a lot.
Right.
You learn what not to do. So this has been part of me all my life.
So somebody said, did you watch Milton Berle? And you said, who?
Quite literally.
Really?
The only thing I remember of the Honeymooners, because when we went to my grandparents' house, they had a TV, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, right.
And I Love Lucy. That was it. That was the 50s.
The book is called, again, The Court of Last Resort by Matt Flynn. You can find it wherever you buy books. I want to get Matt's opinion here on some court cases, but before we do, let's go quickly to Tom, listening in Madison on WMDX. Tom, you're on with Matt Flynn and Todd. What say you?
Hey, it's good to hear you guys. When it comes to Trump and dictatorship, I mean, can you imagine what the right would be doing if a relative of Joe Biden or Barack Obama took over the DNC?
Right. Well, and it also called Michigan and said, don't certify the vote. How about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that one of the dangerous things about Trump is a lot of people look at him and they see basically a buffoon. But he's a buffoon who is constantly searching for approval from his other dictator daddy figures. So anybody compliments him, he likes me.
Right.
We had a love letter, all that kind of stuff. So he is just malleable, and he is seriously in debt. So none of those things combine right. very well.
Well, he was diagnosed by some leading psychiatrists as a sadonarcissist, and he's not for you or me. He's not for the country. He's for the most recent compliment he got, and he's terrified. He's terrified of Putin. He's terrified of Orban. He's terrified of Xi. He's terrified of men who are authoritarians in other societies.
Did you see that? He put out a post, Matt, over the weekend, complimenting himself on winning his own golf tournament down at Mar-a-Lago. Yeah. And then Biden comes back and says something about, you know, nice job, Don.
Yeah, but you know what that reminds me of? Kim Jong-un of North Korea, about a year or two ago, they put out a release saying that he played a round of golf, 18 holes, and he got 7 holes in one. I mean, that's what they said. That's what it reminded me of. I mean, this is the United States. This clown who weighs, 400 pounds, is out there winning the golf and the senior championship. Right. Both of them. When I saw that, I thought that had got to be, you know, some kind of a joke.
Right.
But Kim Jong-un, 7. Hey, so Don, 7 holes in one. Why don't you do that in Mar-a-Lago next time?
855-752-4842. Let's go to Joanne in Madison. Joanne, thanks for calling. What say you?
Yes, I miss Matt's voice on the air, and especially the way he would characterize the Supreme Court as tarantulas. I laugh every time I see them. But I've got a question.
Yeah.
What would he do? What would he do about this current controversy with Ron and McDaniels? Is it possible to rehabilitate somebody who is a professional liar and bring him onto the air as a journalist? And thank you so much again for all your work, Matt.
Yeah, thank you, Joanne. And no, you can't rehabilitate them. I was watching MSNBC last night, and both Rachel Maddow and Lawrence O'Donnell went off on that hire, said that that was wrong. And then apparently in Morning Joe, they went off on it. And you know what it really comes down to? It's one thing to be the chair of a party. I was the chair of the Wisconsin State Democratic Party for 2 terms. But she was on the phone with the Trump people calling the Michigan authorities saying, do not certify the election, go home. That's what she did. That, frankly, that's a criminal act. And yet, and they have a great attorney general over there, and they brought a criminal action against the fake electors. I wish we did that in Wisconsin, quite frankly. But that said, when you make that kind of a call, that is a criminal offense. And why NBC? By the way, she's not going to be on MSNBC. That's clear. But why did NBC hire her? What did they think they were getting? Why don't you hire Liz Cheney or Adam Kinzinger? You know, or Mitt Romney. Why do you hire her?
I think Dan Rather, former CBS News anchor, has weighed in on this as well. Others have. Chuck Todd, former host of Meet the Press, yes. Matt. And I think one of the things that really grates people in the journalism business is the fact that Welker booked Rhoda McDaniel on MSNBC, but nobody at NBC told Welker that they were paying McDaniel to be on the show. And it's like, look, if you ever want to have a guest, that's one thing. But if they're being paid and the anchor or the host doesn't know it, that's just a violation of journalism ethics.
Right. And NBC should have checked with all the hosts. Should have gone to Rachel Maddow, you know, should have gone to Chuck Todd, should have gone to everybody else in advance and gotten feedback, not just lower this on when she tried to interfere with the election in Michigan.
The phones are lighting up, Matt. You have that ability. 855-752-4842. Where are we going to go first? Bill at Oconomowoc. Bill, very quickly, what do you got for Matt?
Good to hear your voice again, Matt. Bill from Oconomowoc.
Thank you, Bill.
A quick synopsis, because I always appreciate it. By the way, you make a good sportscaster. But I'm going to get. I want your Matt. You're perfect for sports. But I want your opinion on the election today, right today. You tell me how the odds look, what you're thinking. I'll hang up. Have a great day and good to hear from you.
1 minute.
Yeah, and here it is in a nutshell, Bill. I think Biden's going to win. Yes, it's going to be close. The ball game are about 7 swing states, but they're really 3 swing states. It's really Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, and he can win in all 3. I understand the issue in Michigan. We can get into that some other time. But that said, everybody, it goes, the sky is falling. You know, how about enthusiasm and all that? He's an incumbent president who's done a superb job. And this other clown he's running against is a criminal facing 4 criminal cases. We're going to win.
To quote the great guy next to me, we see you on the lines. Do not hang up. Back with more Matt Flynn after this on the Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Need repairs? How about a new truck? Don't worry. Both can be found at TJ's Auto and Collision Center on Highway 73 in Wisconsin Rapids. And do we have trucks? From industrial to moving to S10s to SUVs, TJ's Auto has the right truck for the right price. Check out our website at tjsauto.net or stop by to enjoy our welcoming and comfortable customer experience. TJ's Auto is a proud sponsor of the Southwood County Humane Society's Pet of the Week. And remember, we have trucks!
Put the flavor back in your life with El Cafe and never settle for bland food again. They may be a small-town diner with a quaint menu, but the flavors here are big. Start your day right with El Cafe's Irish Benedict, consisting of poached eggs topped with sliced corned beef on an English muffin covered in hollandaise sauce. Yum. El Cafe is a proud sponsor of WFHR's Birthday and Anniversaries Club, so tune in for your chance to win a meal from El Cafe and put some fiesta into your special day.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, along with my friend Matt Flynn. Yes, Matt Flynn. He's an attorney. He's an author. Democrat. All-around great guy. But you're a good golfer, too, aren't you?
No, I'm actually I'm not a good golfer.
I bet you could beat Trump.
Well, I couldn't get seven holes in one, but neither could he. Right.
Great to have Matt Flynn on the show with us today. Always appreciate his insight. And I know, Matt, one of the things that you always have said are the callers that make the show, and I agree with that so very much. I know one of the great callers that calls into this program and others, Joe in Madison, listening on WMDX. Joe, always appreciate your insight. Thanks for joining us. What do you have for Matt?
First off, Matt, it's a pleasure to hear you again. I missed you. Very much. And Todd, if there's a regular gig for Matt on your show, that would be just wonderful to get his insight.
Thank you, Joe.
As they say, we're in negotiations.
good. Glad to hear it. And I wanted to ask you, Matt, just a quick question. I know that things with Russia have gone through many waves since I last heard you on air, and I'm curious to get your reaction to the thought that Putin is using the expression of greater Russia in speaking of that more grandiosely than just speaking of the Baltics and getting Ukraine back. But he's actually, I think, dropped in the thought of, gee, Alaska wasn't negotiated properly for us, and we got kind of a poor price for giving up Alaska. Do you think that's, I mean, I just found it so odd that suddenly became part of his repertoire. Do you have any thoughts on that, or is that just capriciousness on Putin's part, do you think? I'll hang up and listen to your great response. Thanks a lot, Matt. I really appreciate it.
And that's good. And by the way, everybody, if you haven't been to Alaska, I went up there one time halibut fishing with some buddies, and there are little buildings, churches with Russian inscription on
really?
It still. Oh, yeah. It's very freaky because you may remember that back in Lincoln's cabinet after his assassination, we bought Alaska from Russia. What was it, 7 million or 9 million or something? And Russia's regretted ever since. Joe, I do not think it's plausible that the Russians would be stupid enough to try to lay that kind of a claim. But you've raised an issue that does bear mention, and let me tell you what it is. I think that he does want to restore the Soviet Union. He does have his eyes, believe it or not, on Poland, as well as Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania. And more importantly, there was a fantastic article, Garry Kasparov, the great chess player, who's a Russian patriot, but expatriate. In other words, he's not a communist and he's not a Putin guy. And he had a fascinating thesis, and I want to lay it out real quick. That thesis is that this particular terrorist act that occurred at that concert the other day, you know, we had warned him about it twice, 3 weeks before and 4 weeks before. And our sources came out of the FSB, his own Secret Service, who couldn't get his attention. The thinking is that he may have been willing to tolerate it. just like he bombed apartment buildings in the year 2000, mm-hmm. killed hundreds of Muscovites, blamed it on Chechnya to start a war and seize power. And this is one where he didn't do the bombing, but he knew that these people were doing it. They could have arrested them. They could have put more cops, and they didn't do it. So, Joe, to your point, I do not think it's plausible that he has designs on Alaska, but I would certainly recommend anybody who hasn't been there go there. These buildings are incredible. But secondly, he does have his designs in Eastern Europe, and Joe Biden has done a great job supporting Ukraine and avoiding nuclear war.
We're talking with Matt Flynn. He is a two-time Democratic Party chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, also an attorney and an author. We're talking about his book, his newest book called The Court of Last Resort by Matt Flynn. Pick it up wherever you can find or you buy your books. And Matt has agreed to so graciously stick around into hour two because, Matt, I do want to get your thoughts on these Supreme Court cases going on in Trump. Let's go quickly back to the phone lines. Keith from Middleton, speaking of the Supreme Court, you had a question for Matt on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, good afternoon, Matt. Great to hear your voice again. I miss you.
Thank you, Keith.
Maggie's awesome. But hey, so there's been an awful lot of talk, and then the newest thing with the Supreme Court is they're going to be hearing the arguments regarding the, I can't pronounce the name, but the pill for the abortion.
Mifepristone, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, Pristone, yeah. So my question for you, Matt, is how do we... Because I don't think, and I think you agree with me, I don't believe that packing the court, so-called packing the court is the way to go on this. But how do we impose or how do we get them to follow basic judicial ethics rules? And it's just they've gone completely over the edge. There's so many cases where certain people should have recused themselves from arguments, and they just do not. And I don't see anything happening with Roberts. He doesn't show the backbone at all on this.
So. Right. Excellent question. And I'd like to just repeat something I've said before when I had my own show about the six tarantulas. And three of them, Alito in particular, but Clarence Thomas and Gorsuch, are utterly untrustworthy. And think about something. You think about Citizens United that basically corrupted contributions. You think about Shelby County that got rid of the Voting Rights Act that out of the blue. Congress had passed it. The Supreme Court said, well, we don't need it anymore. Who the heck were they? How about Dobbs getting rid of Roe v. Wade? All of those cases were 5-4. And Clarence Thomas was the key vote. Mm-hmm. Clarence Thomas, 5-4. And you can say, well, Dobbs was 6-3. No, it wasn't. It was 6-3 on upholding the Mississippi part of it. It was 5-4 on getting Roe v. Wade. Clarence Thomas has been on the take for 20 years. Mm-hmm. 20 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, his wife's been paid large sums of money, tuition, very expensive tuition paid for a family member, and not just the trips and so on. He's gotten money, and he hasn't disclosed it. There is no code of ethics presently for the U.S. Supreme Court. There is for every other judge in the country, but not them, and they won't pass it. They will not pass it. And the only thing that can be done, I'll give you two things. One would be impeach these people, but it requires a majority in the House and 2/3 in the Senate. It ain't going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then number two is indict them for bribery. Mm-hmm. But Merrick Garland, quite frankly, I think is very weak. He was very, very reluctant and weak to unleash Jack Smith against Trump. And that has caused problems with the backing up of the timing of these cases. He doesn't have the guts to do it. But there's several of them. Gorsuch took money, too. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, Roberts' wife was paid millions of dollars as a, quote, headhunter. You know, they'd say, gee, do you know any good lawyers our firm should hire? Oh, yeah, Jones. Thank you. Here's $1 million. I mean, this is what's going on. This is what's going on. Does that bother anybody other than me? And so the question is, you have to indict him.
We are talking with Matt Flynn. He's never shy. He's always direct. He's going to stick around for hour number two and tell you what's happening in the Supreme Court with the Trumpster. Also, we're giving away a trip next hour. Maybe Matt will go along. Stick around. You can win next hour right here on the Civic Media.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Tune in Tuesday to the Devil's Advocates radio show 1 week until the Wisconsin primary and a wake-up call. Devil's Advocates across the state, 4-6.
Wisconsin Public Schools open doors for all students.
I'm Peggy Wirtz Olson, a Wisconsin teacher and president of the Wisconsin Education Association Council. Public school educators and families work together to reach, teach, and inspire Wisconsin's next generation of leaders. As we head back to school, we hope you'll join us. WEAC, we teach, we inspire. Find out more at weac.org.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. President Biden has vowed to get federal resources to Baltimore to help rebuild the Francis Scott Key Bridge quickly.